Hello, my name is Charles Morgan, Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you so much for listening to us, for all those that support us financially, with prayers, just with your comments. I appreciate all that. It's been great to hear from you and seeing that we are being listened to. We just want to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out this morning, or whenever you're going to be listening to it. I'll be in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 11. Said, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? All right. Book of Hebrews. It's not exactly clear who wrote this, and because it's not, it's debated. I really think it was Paul. Some scholars think it was Peter. There are others that think it was someone else, but, you know, that's okay. The Holy Spirit wrote it. The one that penned it, depends on your opinion, and I look at it and I think it's Paul's writing the way he did and the way that the Holy Spirit used him. But it doesn't say that in the beginning like most of his, where it says Paul the apostle, to the church or whatever he's writing. So, it's debated. But whatever it is, the book of Hebrews is that Christ is the best, the better things. And it's written to the Jews. Letting them know that Christ was the one. Christ was the one that they were to turn to. And it says he's better than Moses. He's better than angels. To us, this may be kind of a different point because we didn't revere Moses. We didn't revere the angels, but they did. And so he's talking about Jesus. And in verse 11 here, he's been talking about the tabernacle, but he was talking about the physical tabernacle. And now he says, but Christ. And so he's going to relate it. It's not about the tabernacle either. Because that to them, was a holy place, a place that they would go to, the place that they would sacrifice, a place that they held in great esteem. And so to them, it was something to be looked upon greater than any other building. And so he'd been talking about that, but he said, but Christ being come in high priest. Now, that's an amazing thing. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Their high priest was over the other priest, and he was the one that would make the sacrifices for the nation. He would come in, and he had to make a sacrifice for himself to atone or make a payment for his sin before he could sacrifice for anybody else. He would go into the Holy of Holy, sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. So we don't have that, but they did. And so they would look at that. And this was someone that they would look at, that he was above them, someone that did things. But he himself had to atone for his sins. Now, this was done yearly. So it didn't last for eternity. It didn't last until the person's end of their life. It just lasted for a period of time, which was a year. But Christ being a high priest of good things to come. And so he was talking about these things that we have to look forward to. Folks, we got, as children of God, we got something so great to look forward to, a home with Jesus Christ, a place that we're going to be with him for eternity. So of things that are to come, we look to these things and we say, this is not it. Now, I know so many say, well, the kingdom has already come and this is it. That's pretty sorry if you look at it and think that this is the kingdom of God and this is what he wanted and this is how it is and it's all supposed to get better and better and better until he comes back. How's that going for you, by the way? From my vantage point, it doesn't look like it's going very good. It's not going good because that's not the way it's supposed to happen. It says that it's going to get worse, and Jesus himself said, as in the days of Noah, it's going to continue to get worse and worse until it gets to that point where he says, I'm coming back. First, he's going to come and get his own. And then we're going to go through a tribulation period. You may have that different, but that tribulation period's there, that 7-year period. First half of it's going to be peace. The last half of it's going to be extremely bad. Judgment upon this earth. But Jesus Christ came to fulfill everything that was in this Bible. The high priest made sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And he came by a greater, more perfect tabernacle. That was himself. He is perfect. Always has been, always will be. He came and died as a perfect man for our sin. He had to be. See, he didn't have to make an atonement for himself like the high priest, because the high priest was a sinful man. He had a sin nature, which was brought by Adam into this world. Thereby death was brought into this world. But Jesus Christ didn't have to do that. He brought himself a perfect sacrifice, a perfect tabernacle. But it says not made with hands. So he wanted to make sure that he was differentiating that. He was saying, I'm not talking about the tabernacle of stones stacked upon one another here that make this building. And we have church buildings, but they are not holy places. We call them sanctuaries, but we are not to worship that building. We are not to worship the inside of it, the outside of it, whatever. We're not to worship it because it is not a perfect place. Jesus Christ was that perfect tabernacle. We can take all to him because he is God. And so we look at this, he said, a perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. So again, not of this tabernacle. Again, it's better things. He's telling them that Christ is it. It's not Moses, it's not the angels, it's not this tabernacle. No matter what you kind of value you place on it, and things in it were valuable. Some of them were valuable. We may have a building that cost a lot of money, but that's not the value we're looking for. We're valuing Jesus Christ and what he did and the sacrifice he made for us that's worth more than gold, that we can rely upon, that we can bring ourselves to him and say, I want that free gift that you have, that you've purchased with your perfect self. He said, verse 12, that neither by the blood of goats and calves. He didn't sacrifice what the high priest that they were used to sacrificed. It wasn't blood of goats and calves and animals. It said, but by his own blood. By his own blood. In 1 Peter 8:9, Peter calls this the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That precious blood that was offered for our sins. The precious blood. It said, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, freed us, redeemed us with that precious blood. And so that's what the writer here is getting across to us. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. See, the high priest would bring the blood of animals in there, and then he would sprinkle them. He would go into the Holy of Holies. It's rumored, and it's not in the Bible here, but they said that they would tie a rope to his ankle, and he had bells upon him in his clothing, that they could hear him when he was in there doing that. But if he had not atoned for his sin, you would die if you went in there. And that rope on his ankle was so they could drag him back out so they wouldn't die trying to go in there to save him. But said he didn't do that by blood of animals. He did it by his own blood, and he entered into the holy place. That place was covered with a curtain, a very tall curtain. And when Christ died upon the cross, it was torn in half from top to bottom. Not the bottom to top, top to the bottom. Why was that? That was to signify that that was no longer needed. Jesus Christ had now fulfilled everything that that stood for. That Holy of Holies, he is now our conduit to heaven. He is now our conduit to God. He takes us there by the blood of himself. And he entered once into that place. He didn't have to continually go in there like this high priest did. Like I said, this high priest had to continually do this for the people. And he said, by doing this, he obtained eternal redemption for us. If you take a coupon to a store, you guys, maybe you go to a hardware store and you take a coupon in there for that tool, or maybe you go to a grocery store, or somebody takes a coupon for anything to anybody and says, here, I want to redeem this because it has value. You see, Jesus Christ redeemed us. He bought us back. He redeemed us. He said, I will pay that price. I paid it for them. I paid it so that it could have them back. He said, but that payment was eternal. Eternal. It's not for a small period of time. It's not until you mess up. It's not until you can no longer measure up. We couldn't measure up in the first place. That's the whole point. We could not measure up in the first place. And so Jesus had to die for us. He had to bring his own blood and spill his own blood there. And where there's always been a debate, as long as I can remember as a child coming up, there was a debate, you know, who killed Jesus? Well, the Jews killed him. No, it was the Romans. The Bible says he laid down his own life. He laid down his own life. He sacrificed himself because he's the high priest. He's the only one that could do it. He was the only one worthy to do it. And so he laid down his own life for us for eternal redemption. Eternity is a long time. It's an amazing thing. We look around us and I see that as time goes on in my life, I see how short time really is. And it amazes me, this concept of eternity, eternal anything, that there is no beginning, there is no end. And it amazes me. And so when I read this, it's hard for my mind to wrap around it, but I believe it. I know it to be true because God has said it. He said he's our high priest. He brought his own blood. It's eternal redemption. He said, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. He said, he's relating back to this earthly high priest, this one that would burn these things and create these ash and it would do a redemption for a short period of time. It was a purifying of the flesh for a short period of time. He said, if that's purifying of the flesh, just think about this. This high priest can do this. He said, if this is the case, and we knew it to be because God said it was the case, then he says, well, how much more shall the blood of Christ? You see what he's getting to? He's bringing it right back to the blood. Without the blood, without the shedding of the blood, there is no redemption of sin. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a payment. See, death is the wages of sin. So death was redemption. Throughout all this time, death was redemption. That's what God required. The Bible tells us that the wages of that sin, it said, for all sin to come short of the glory of God. That's everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you think you've been, where you know who you think you are. You know, a lot of people have what we call inflated egos. They think way more of themselves than they really should, way more than anybody else does. Or maybe there are people that somebody does think they're great. It doesn't matter. All have sinned. That's from the lowest in our viewpoint to the highest. We elevate people. We give them a pass on a lot of things. We see people that are in power that get by with things that nobody else gets by with. And they think that's okay. Other people think it's okay. And a lot of it depends on which side you're on. Well, that's my guy. Well, that one over there is not. So whatever happens to them, it doesn't matter. And it's throughout time and history, we see this kind of things go on. And so even in other religions, you might see somebody, well, they're better than that person over there. But see, God brought it down because God said he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at things the same way we do. He said, this is the way it is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone our own way. We've done our own thing. We don't have it within us to follow after God. We move here and back. He said, because of that sin, because of that blight that's upon us, it was brought by one man. Romans says this. One man brought sin into the world. That man was Adam. Because of that, the wages of that sin is death. That's what the Bible tells us. Death is required. Death is the wages of sin. And we know that we've got a physical death. We see it all around us. The more we go through life, the more death we see. We see it in our family members. We see it in friends. We see it in people we don't even know. We know this. And funeral homes are staying in business because people die. And something has to be done. And they have to be taken care of. We know we've got that physical death. But there is a second death. There's a spiritual death. It's a separation of eternity from God, to be away from Him, not have any presence. You know, the Holy Spirit is still in this world right now. The Holy Ghost, still abiding here. One day it's going to be removed. It's going to be terrible. But that eternal separation of having no contact, nothing with God. And it wasn't, hell is not for you and I. It's not for us. He was created for Satan and those that went with him, those angels. But for those that reject Jesus Christ, that is going to be their eternal home. The wages of that sin. But see, Jesus Christ came with his own blood. And he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what we're hearing here. Verse 20, it says, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto us. He's enjoined that. He's enjoined that. He's given that to us. We need to realize this. We need to take this to heart. I don't think we realize this enough. These high priests, they would bring these animals to them and they'd say, this is my sacrifice. Sacrifice this for me. Make atonement to God for me. But you know what? Even they got to where they weren't bringing their best. Jesus Christ was the best. He brought his best. He says of this, he said, if the ashes of heifers and goats are good enough for the purifying of the flesh, he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. Again, he offered himself up. See this? This is what God did for you. He came down to earth in human form and offered himself up for us, for you. Bible says that he died for us and that while we were yet sinners, while we were sinners, he said, in other words, what does that mean? We can't get good enough. We could never do that. We can't do it on our own. The blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot. See, Christ was without spot, without blemish. That's what these sacrifices were supposed to be. They were supposed to set them aside and purify them before they brought them in. This was a huge deal, and this was something they were supposed to do. But they weren't doing it. We don't realize it. We don't give Christ the credit of saying, yes, he is my God. He's the one that offered this. We don't worship him the way we should. We don't bow down before him on a daily basis and say, thank you for that salvation. That's one of the reasons I think that we don't go out and tell people, because we don't value it. We don't see the value in it. We don't give it the value that we really should and say, this is the Christ. He is the one. He's the one that gave himself for me. He died on the cross. His precious blood was spilled. Again, Peter talks about this. I mean, he realized it. He said it. He walked with him. He said, verse 18, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. He said, those are corruptible. They can go away. They can be melted down, burnt. They can, you know, they're not incorruptible. They're not pure. From your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. He's saying the same thing. He said, all those things that we thought, that we looked at, that we valued is not of value. He said, but the precious blood of Christ, who as a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you. Jesus Christ died for you. He was this Lamb of God without spot. He said, present himself without spot to God. And how, if this blood of goats, this ashes sprinkled on it, can do all this, this guy comes, this man, Jesus Christ, he gave of himself. He said, how much more can it purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He said, if this worked over here, This is greater. Jesus Christ is greater. It says after that, he's our mediator, the one that goes between. He's the one that had given himself the eternal salvation. Not just for a year, not for just a little while, but eternal salvation. Jesus Christ is that one. He is our high priest. Folks, we can bring it to him knowing that he can do it. He can forgive. He's already died on the cross and forgiven the sin of the world, but you have to accept that free gift. You can't just say, oh yeah, all right, whatever, you know, I'll go on. You will either accept it or reject it. That's all there is to it. There's only two choices. What are you going to do today? Are you going to accept the free gift of salvation and say, yes, I want that eternal redemption that was paid for on the cross? Or are you going to reject it and say, I don't want it, I don't need it, I'll go my own way? Because people do every single day. People die in their sin, and by that, their choice is made. After you hear my voice and you know the salvation plan, you will make a decision for Christ. You will either say, yes, I want that salvation, I want that new life, I want to serve the Lord, I want that free gift, I know I'm a sinner because all have sinned. Or you will say, you know what, I don't really care. Maybe you'll say, not now. But by that you're saying, no, I don't want it. I don't really want that. But you must make a decision. Early in Hebrews, in here it says, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation as your fathers did. You can harden your heart today. Or maybe you're saved and you're saying, I didn't put value in it the way I should. I've demeaned it. And you can put it back in its place and say, Lord, I want to put you there. I want to put you where you go. He's our high priest. He's greater than the tabernacle. He's greater than any building. I'm telling you, I've seen this too many times that people worship their building. And they won't call it that. But they look at it and they think, well, this place is great. And look at this and how much better it is than some other building. I've been in great, beautiful buildings that I didn't really feel the Spirit of the Lord. And I've been in little bitty buildings out in the country that you could feel people were worshiping God because of what he did for them. That price that he paid there. The salvation that he brought to them. And they worship him with a way that you can't feel anywhere else. That tabernacle that was made with hands was just that. It was made with hands. We see it every day that we go through somewhere. Something happens to a church. It may have burned down. Weather may have happened. You know, something is not right. Maybe it's in disrepair. But it was made with hands. Jesus Christ is that eternal tabernacle. That eternal tabernacle that we can go to and we can worship him. And by this, he took his own blood into the Holy of Holies, presented it to God and said, it's done. On the cross, he cried out, it is finished. He had done everything for us. He came here, he had a ministry, he lived, and he died on the cross. But thank God he didn't stay dead. He's alive today. He's a risen Savior. The Bible says if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, confess that he's God of your life, in other words, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what you got to do today. You got to make him Lord of your life. You got to say, yes, he is God, and I am going to elevate him to the place he belongs. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to tell people about him. I'm going to demonstrate it through my life, through my words, through everything about me. And that's what Hebrews is about, telling these people that Jesus Christ is it. It's not about any other thing. He said, for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. That means the new agreement. that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know, we got our Bible divided into Old Testament, New Testament. It's all one Bible, but we do that because Jesus brought this New Testament. But it was all the Old Testament. Because see, that agreement was already made. It was in Genesis where he said, I'm going to send one. I'm going to send a redemption. And in Peter, it talks about that. That before the foundation of the world, this plan was there. For us, so that we could be with God. And that's exactly what he wants. We want to be with him. That's when we accept that free gift. And he provided a way through Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way to heaven. Now you may believe something else. You may say, well, if I get this or I do this or if I just get myself right, you can't do that. There is no way to do it. It's only through Jesus. And he said it himself in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way into heaven, and that's Jesus. He's the only way. Won't you turn your life over to Jesus? Won't you say today, hey, I want that eternal life. I want that I can't get, that I can't attain by myself. All these people that were still going to try to sacrifice, it didn't do any good anymore because Jesus was the fulfillment of that. They could take it to the high priest. They could have him sacrifice, but it no longer did anything. Why? Because Jesus was that sacrifice. He did it once and for all. And that's why it says eternal redemption. Not something that had to be done again and again and again and again. Jesus died once and he died for our salvation. He defeated death for our life. He can bring life, and he is the only one. He is the bread of life. He is it. There is no other. Won't you give your heart, won't you give your life over to Jesus Christ today? Not because I think it's a good idea, but because God said it's the only way. There is no other way. All these other religions lead to falsehoods. There's only one truth, only one way, one life, and that's Jesus Christ. And he wants you to have salvation today. He said, if you'll just come to me, he said, I'll be your mediator. I'll be the one that brings it to you. This is the blood of that New Testament, Jesus Christ. It was shed upon the cross. Folks, it was an agonizing death. It was terrible. And yet he did it for us. He said, I give it all over to you. He was on a cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But yet he was doing it for them. Jesus Christ, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. He's the only one that can keep his promises. We rely upon those. Bible tells us he's not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. I pray that today that you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ. Tell him, I am a sinner. I know because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want that salvation. And if you do, if you'll drop us a line, we'll be praying for you. If you do accept Jesus Christ, you need to find you a Bible-believing church in your area. Go in there and you'll probably have some friends that are saved and say, hey, where do you go to church? And I want to go and I want to worship God. You need to tell people. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. What does that mean? Because it's not really real. If you're not willing to tell other people about it, then it wasn't real. Make it real. Do it from the heart. Don't just do it because you just want to get out of trouble for something. Say, Lord, I want to come to you. I want that free gift of salvation that only you can offer. I want to bring myself and I want to lay it down and I don't bring anything except that acceptance. As the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Life Ministries. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you.